Okay, we want to get started. Thank you so much for being here. We do know that there are some storms that are making their way here. We should be done and out long before anything gets here. We're going to continue our conversation in the Lord's Prayer. Well, why don't we just say that together as we open our time? Let's pray with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are challenging you as young followers of Jesus, or those who are seeking to understand who Jesus is, to develop a habit of prayer. That to say that Jesus, his life was prayer, meant that he practiced daily, unceasing, holistic prayer. And so we gave you a set of prayer beads that every morning and every evening you would get in the habit of using. Not that there's any special, anything magical. These are my son Lucas's prayer beads. This is an Anglican rosary, just like yours. It's just a little bit fancier beads, that's all. Okay, that you would get into the habit of coming before the Lord each morning, because prayer is daily. It's unceasing. It's holistic. That you would practice praying around this ring. We have taught you some prayers to begin to incorporate into. What is the Jesus prayer? Yes, Porter. Excellent. So I'll say that together. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Someone tell me something about the Jesus prayer. Why do we pray that? How long have we been praying it? What's the big deal with the Jesus prayer? Yeah, I will get you in a little bit. I love seeing that hand go up. That's awesome. But I want to see someone else's hand go up. Bob, is there anything that you could tell me about the Jesus prayer? What do you need? What do you need, Porter? How about it's a historical, concise way that followers of Jesus have prayed? That's what you meant to say, right? It's historical, it's concise. Yeah. Meaning that what? It's a means by which followers of Jesus, through all his traditions, can participate in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, is that a biblical thing to pray? Why so? Why can we say Lord Jesus Christ? Well, what do we know about Jesus? What do we learn about Jesus from the very beginning of our gospel time together? Who is Jesus Christ? Yes. What's that? Yes, yes, that is right. That is right. But Jesus is ruling king, promised to do what? Rescue and restore, right? That's what you were going to say. I saw the R forming right there. I knew you knew what to say next. Yeah, yeah. Jesus is Lord. It's to pray to him, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, right? Have mercy. What is mercy? Jackson, what do you think mercy is? Can you think of anything that might be mercy? Dad, you want to help him out a little bit? What do you think mercy is? Other than the hand game where we try to twist each other's wrists off. Guidance, forgiveness, any manifestation of God's presence can be considered mercy. Anytime God bursts into the scene, makes himself known, that's his mercy, that's his grace, that's his benevolence, it's his gift. Yeah, so have mercy, be merciful to me. Why? Why? What am I? A sinner. A sinner. Yeah. When did we learn about that? Yeah. What were you created to be? Good image bearers of God, right? Yeah. But what happened? Yeah. Corruption and chaos and treason. Corruption and treason. Those two important words together. Because of sin, our willful treason, and that's going to come up today when we talk about kingdom. Okay. And corruption. Yeah, I can't come before God without his help. I can't do what's asked of me without his help. And so we've been teaching you to kind of go around the ring. You know, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on my sinner. Now, what is prayer? What is prayer? Pouring out our hearts before God can come in four different ways, right? Carmen, can you think of one of those four ways? Ah, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. Don't be looking down there. Hold on, Harper. You think of one of the four ways that we manifest prayer or what prayer can become? I'll give you a hint. Rhymes with trays. Or praise, good, yeah, praise. What's another way that prayer might manifest? Harper. Thanksgiving, awesome. What else? How about when I do something wrong, what should I do? Repentance or confession, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. There's one other way. That's confession, repentance, but asking. And when you remember what the word was for asking? Petition, that's great. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm asking for. Yep, so I'm going to pour out my heart before God. So where does the prayer resonate from? This space. Yeah, like a giant echo chamber. I'm thinking and I am believing and I'm feeling my way into the presence of God. And it might come forth as praise. It might come forth as a petition. It might come forth as confession. It might come forth as thanksgiving. Yeah, this is what prayer is, and this is the lifeblood of a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus daily would come before God. That's why we're challenged to pray without ceasing. How often do you breathe? Anyone take any breaks from breathing? Anyone take a breath break today? Just, you know what? For the next hour, I'm just going to take a break from breathing. Just don't really want to put forth the effort. No, it is what? It is this constant thing that must happen, so must prayer become. And so we're teaching you to participate with this. How many of you have tried to give it a go on a daily basis? And I was gracious with the word tried, which means everyone can raise their hand. Yeah, I tried. Okay, good. Let me call you to that a little bit more. We've been now diving into, yes, sir.
I know you went over this before.
That's okay. Ask me a question.
But
yeah.
We have the single beat.
Yeah, so those are the cruciform beads, right?
Right, and then you got your group of seven.
Yep.
Now, which prayer is for each one?
You know, whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever you want. But this is what we're teaching. So, if you brought your beads with you, anyone bring your beads with you? Have a set. Okay. Have a set. That's okay. So even if not, okay. So if we're kind of holding it up, think of it like a clock face, if you will. Okay. There are these singled out beads at 12 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, and 6 o'clock, okay? We call those cruciform beads because they make the shape of a cross, okay? As far as right now is concerned, we're asking that you would practice and pray the Lord's Prayer when you're on those cruciform beads, okay? Okay? The weeks, this is called a week because it's seven beads. Yeah, Ryan, you had a question? So like when you get to them, how this might flow. So I'm gonna let's say it's, what time do you wake up, Ryan? There you go. That's when men wake up. Well done. What's that? Yeah, punched his head, make up for the beard. So he had to punch the man card there. Yeah. Or you can be like an Adam Bennett and just not sleep all night. Okay, his man card sets a little bit different than the rest of ours. Okay, so I'm waking up. It's 4:30. I'm waking up. I'm putting my feet on the ground. Haley's like, there's no way I'm waking up at 4:30 in the morning to pray. Absolutely not. That's when I look over at the clock and say, yeah, I still got another 5 or 6 hours to go. Okay, so I hit and I reach over. I grab my beads. I'm going to start with the cross in my hand. Okay? I'm going to start with the cross in my hand. Okay? And I'm just going to let that kind of anchor me in the reality that what I'm about to do is a divine, holy thing. I'm going to talk to the creator of all things. After all, what do we pray? Our Father in heaven, as Father, he is the life-giving creator of, yeah. See how that all comes together? Okay. There's another bead that comes next. And that's the invitation bead. Sometimes, or invitatory bead, sometimes people will pray a little piece of scripture, might pray something like the Lord's Prayer, the Jesus Prayer, anything that kind of gets you in that headspace of, you know, what I will often pray is, Lord Jesus Christ, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Okay, that's from the Psalms. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Okay, and then the first bead I come to, okay, is a cruciform bead. So I will pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I am praying that from what space? From my heart. I'm praying this from my heart. Okay? Then I'm going to move on to the next bead. Okay? Okay? The next bead. Okay? So, right here. And I'll pray the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I move to the next one. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'll work through the whole week, okay? Week, not week of days, week of beads, because there's seven of them, okay? What I am doing is I am working to practice and develop a habit of unceasing prayer, of being in God's presence, of seeking His grace, okay? And so after I get through those seven beads, you know, what do I come to next? What's the name of this bead? Carmen? Separate ones. There's four of them. What do we call these? Cruciform beads. What do we pray on the cruciform beads? Lord's Prayer, yeah. And then I get to another set of seven. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Okay, does that make sense? Yep, and I work my way all the way around. Now, what happens when I get to the bottom? What do I do? You can do it again if you want, or you can, you know, all right, so it's time to get up and face the day, whatever it might be. Okay, makes sense with me? Whose did I take?
Mine.
Yep. And so last week, what Mr. Brooks started unpacking was the first line of the Lord's Prayer, which is what? Reggie, what's the first line of the Lord's Prayer? Finish it out for me. Hallowed. Yeah. Hey, how'd the meeting go? Good. You excited? Good. Good answer. How'd the meeting go? Good. You excited? I know I am. I'm excited for you to go too. that you would experience God's presence and grow in knowing Him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does the Lord's Prayer teach us about God's character? Everyone find the page in your book. Go ahead and find the page. It's okay. No, I want everyone to find the page because let's work through this content. Okay? What does the Lord's Prayer teach us about God's character? This is from last week. I know some of you couldn't be here. Keep going. Character right there. What does the Lord's Prayer teach about God's character? Okay. Answer number seven, right? As Father, what? God is the life-giving creator of all things. Okay. If you weren't able to be here last week, make sure you get that written in. Okay. As Father, our Father, and what Father signifies is that Father is the giver of life, okay? It's between Father and Mother. Father gives, Mother receives, okay? As Father, He is the life-giving creator of all things. So when I am praying that our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, hallowed may everything about me radiate your glory, I'm praying, boy, I am remembering and I'm anchoring myself in the fact that as Father, You are the life-giving creator of all things. How many of you want to experience life in the course of your day? Abundance, joy, all of those pieces, okay? So we start with life. We start with Father, okay? That was last week. What's the next line? Jackson.
Your kingdom come, your will be
Yeah. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So we talked about character. Today we're going to talk about kingdom. Who can remember what word goes here?
Providences.
Close. Good P word. It's a good P word. That's a Jesus word, providence, but that's not the one we're looking for. Character, kingdom. Provision. Very good. Provision. What's down here? Has to do with our relationships, one with another. Sonia. Protection. No, we'll get to protection. Yeah, Harper. Very good. Forgiveness. Character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness. Here. Yeah, Jackson. Awesome. Guidance. Well done. Dad gets gold star. Good. Guidance. And then finally, protection. Character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness, guidance, protection. Make sure you understand those components. Today we're going to break down kingdom. Let's look at this line together, okay? Read it with me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so what does the Lord's Prayer teach us about God's kingdom? What do you think? I want to hear some of your answers. Carmen, what do you think? What does the Lord's Prayer teach us about God's kingdom? Think about the line. Think about the prayer. What's that? It can come. It can manifest. Good. What else? Do you think of anything? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, finish that thought. Exactly. That there's a will to it. That there is a direction about it. That there is some incorporation that calls for my obedience, that he's going to do something and wants to do something, and I am under this relationship to follow that. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Good. What else do you think it teaches? You know, we're going to break this down. What does the Lord's Prayer teach us about God's kingdom? What do you think? Yeah, Porter.
What does it teach us?
Yep. That's an excellent answer. Yeah, it calls us to be a follower. It calls us to be a follower. All right, so let's write this answer down in our book. Ready? Read it with me. Jesus is our King, and we are to follow his will. Let's write that down together in that box. Jesus is our King, and we are to follow his will. So let's talk about kingdom, because that's like a big deal, right? So what comes to mind when you think of kingdom? What do you picture? What do you see? I knew that the young men's hands would go up. There's just something about the word kingdom that resonates in the heart of a young man. Porter, what do you see in your mind when I say the word kingdom? King, castle. Yep. Me too.
Safe place.
Oh, all right. I like that. Well, yeah. Jackson, too. A king. There's a king somewhere. There's a castle. And a lot of other buildings. So it's not just the castle. There's an entire epicenter, a city that's within a wall. Good. What else? What else do you see? Kingdom. Come on. It's big. Kingdom's not small. Kingdom feels big. Hold on, Porter. There's some others who... I want to say, Sonia, what about you? What comes to your mind when you hear the word kingdom? Glorious, majestic. There's trumpets upon the parapet. There's banners falling, cascading across the wall. There's a king. There's a queen. Okay, what else? What do you see? Anything about you? What comes to mind when you hear the word kingdom? Power. Yeah, majesty, might, right? Very good. All right. What's that? A dragon. There's a dragon. Porter's ready to go there. He's like, I know what mom will say. I just let her say it. Yeah, there's a moat. There's always a moat. What? There's just a moat. Yeah. All right. So in scripture, to talk about kingdom, four things have to come together for there to be a kingdom present. Okay. One, probably pretty obvious. There has to be a king. Okay. There's a centerpiece. There is a person that is in the middle of all of this. There's a king. Okay. We're going to talk about each one of these in turn. Okay. Two, there has to be a people that are gathered to that king. Okay. If a king doesn't have people, he doesn't have a kingdom. Okay. Okay. So I can walk around and say, I am King Paul. But King Paul don't got any people, okay? So King Paul is not much of a king. That would make me a false king. So what's that, Jackson? You're King Jackson? Yeah? Oh, dude, that's between you and Dad. You guys don't talk about that when you get home. Tell Dad, you call me King Jackson. Okay, so there has to be a king. There has to be people. There has to be a place. Okay? The kingdom is in a place. Hold on, Porter. And there has to be a law. To have kingdom, to manifest kingdom, king, his people, in a place, under his law. Okay, let's break down those each a little bit. Our very first week of gathering together. No, not our first week. Maybe week two, week three. We had a conversation. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? There are two aspects to that answer to that question. One, lion, other, lamb. Behold, lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. Right? That Jesus is first what? The ruling king promised by God to what? Rescue and restore all things. When you think about Jesus, what comes to your mind? Savior, okay. That's the word. What's the picture? What do you see in your mind? What do you see when you see Savior?
Lamb.
Lamb, okay, good. Open arms. Gentle. Bright light, okay. What? Did you say food?
I see him walking up a hill with bread and wine.
He's hungry.
Must be dinner time. The image, what's that? Okay, but let's all go for a walk. Okay? We're actually going to go for a walk. No. Walk with. Elder Brooks, how are you, sir? Good to see you. And so, this is the worship center. Okay, so in what ways, come on up, come on close, we're here at the cross, okay? In what ways is Jesus on the cross the manifestation of a king on his throne? Can you make any connections?
He's wearing a crown of thorns.
Wearing a crown, okay? Yep, did Jesus wear a crown? Sure did wear a crown, didn't he? Did the king wear a crown? King wears a crown. Yep, 100%. Sometimes we'll actually put the crown up there at the top. Yeah. What else? Yes, Porter. Ooh, ooh, gold star to mom. Well, yeah. A good king, the good king who believes in righteousness and justice knows that he's going to have to sacrifice himself. He's going to have to go ahead and do something on behalf of and for the people. Yep, excellent. What else? When we think of the cross and look at the cross, is this also Jesus upon his throne? Yeah. Symbols? That's good. Yeah. Maybe you saw the coronation of the new king in England, and he will hold some symbols. One of the symbols that he will actually hold is of a globe with a cross on top. Did you know that?
Yeah, Elsa when she was.
Yeah, or in Frozen, that also, a Disney movie. Thank you, Pastor's kid. Yeah, so there's some symbolism at play there. If you were to go to a kingdom and see the king, and you would go into his throne room, would he be up or would he be down? He's going to be elevated, right? Yeah, well, the throne is often elevated up. You look up to the king. Yep. Now, you can't see it here because we don't have it there, but if you were to read about the narrative in the Gospels, there's something that's attached to the top of the cross. Okay, do you remember? Yeah. It actually says, yeah, king. Yeah, so, and Jesus in his sacrificial moment, in his enthronement as king, there is actually something on the cross that calls him king of the Jews. Now, the Romans did that as a joke, right? They're mocking him. They're mocking him. But God will always have the last laugh, right? Now, before Jesus got to the cross, before he got to that place, the Romans mocked him even more. They didn't just give him a crown. What else did they give him? Do you remember? Yeah. Oh, when he was up there. But they gave him something else to wear. Do you remember what it was? What does the king have?
A robe.
Yeah, they give him a robe. They give him, and they actually bow down, and they are mocking him, and God takes it. But this is very much the picture of Jesus as king. It's just not what any normal human king on earth would possibly imagine, right? But what is Jesus manifesting in this moment? Well, how does this maybe inform the type of kingdom that he's going to usher in? Different than any other kingdom. What is at the center of this kingdom? What do you think? What type of kingdom is it? If you were to think of the Roman Empire, it was an empire of war and rage and conquer and oppression. To see the Roman Empire, to see the Roman Emperor, he would come forth in his great regalia, surrounded by his soldiers, and it would be a posturing of power. What is Jesus communicating about his kingdom? Yeah, Porter.
Righteousness.
Love. Justice. Sacrifice. Yeah. This is the type of kingdom, the feel of, that Jesus presents when he steps upon his throne. Anyone force him to do it? No one forced him to do that. He says, I'm here willingly. I'm here willingly. Yeah. Let's take a walk. Awesome. Let's go back to our seats. Which way are you going to go, Porter? You choose. We're going to go this. I'm going to go this way, okay? Oh, Porter's going to run. Okay, Porter's running. Let's make sure he makes it back to the classroom. There is absolutely nothing wrong with what Tiffany had said in her initial answer, that Jesus very much is Savior, but he is Savior from the office of King. That we need to learn to, as we see Jesus, see him as King. Okay, so when we talk about kingdom, what's at the center of it? It's a king. Okay, what else needs to be there?
People.
Let's talk about people. Your kingdom come, your will be done. When God sees Israel in Egypt, he sees them under oppression. He sees them enslaved. He brings them out and says, you are my people. You will be my people. He invites a people to be his. Okay. I think you like to cheer for Ohio State. Okay? Would you do me a favor? Would you stand up, please? Okay? I'm not a prophet. I am, but why might I come to the conclusion that Mr. Ryan here cheers for Ohio State? Why? Yeah, you can go ahead and see. Okay, well, what's he wearing?
A shirt.
Not just a shirt. Not just a hat. It's a shirt and the hat. I know his drive. Absolutely. Absolutely. When the World Cup, Soccer World Cup, was rounding last year, you could watch and you could tell whose was whose fans was cheering for whose teams. Why? Because they were regaled in their team's clothing, right, in their gear. When I walked into church this morning, Michelle Richard was sitting at that table, and I knew instantly what team, football team, she cheered for. Why? Because she had a Steelers cup there in front of her. 100%. Yeah, I knew. What might communicate to you that someone is a part of God's kingdom, Jesus' kingdom? What would set them apart as his? A Bible, okay, good. Prayer beads, good, I like it. Porter? Are you just so used to raising your hand that you're like at Jeopardy sometimes, you raise your hand before you've got an answer? That's cool, I appreciate it. What? Okay, there has to be, but what would connect them back to the king? Yeah, I'm just asking your thoughts. I don't have the right answer. Yeah. Maybe they're wearing a cross. What else? I didn't say crown. They're wearing a crown? The king. But what are the people? What sets the people apart? How would I know, okay? How would I know if I'm watching someone that person is a part of God's kingdom? Okay. How they pray. Okay, praying. You're going to see them pray. You're going to see them participate in a life of prayer. That's good. That's good. Carmen, what do you think? Give me an example. I'm with you. I'm trying. I want to follow you a little bit more. Yeah. How they do what? Okay, so it's going to manifest in their words. Yeah. Reggie, what do you think? What would set someone aside if you were watching, observing, if you watched someone through the course of a day without them telling you, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus? That would lead you to conclude that, you know what? That, I bet you Jesus is their king. How they communicate with others. Good. I want to keep Reggie. Reggie's running somewhere. What do you think, buddy? Again, there's not an answer that you're trying to find. I want to know what your thoughts are. That's okay. I do think it would manifest, though, wouldn't it? Won't it manifest? Wouldn't it make itself known in maybe how they dress, what they say, what they do, and it needs to manifest. I should not be surprised after spending a day with you if I said, hey, can I follow you around school? Hey, can I follow you at work? Hey, can I follow you around the house? Not in some weird way. Just let me watch. Let me just watch. You know, like the TV show Big Brother. You guys familiar with the TV show Big Brother? Yeah, don't watch it. But it's basically, you know, a bunch of people living in a house, cameras everywhere. If I were able to watch you for a day, if you're a follower of Jesus and he is your king, it should show itself. It should show itself. In the same way that Mr. Ryan has no problem wearing, that's good, man. Go team, go. If Jesus is my king, it should manifest that I'm a part of the people, that is my king, right? It's king, it's people, what else?
Place.
Yeah, place. Okay, so where is it? Like, I've got the map here. If I were to slide the TV out, what's that? Israel, okay, that's interesting, okay. Yeah, you could, but you'd be wrong. I appreciate that. That's a really good movie reference. But it is also place. Odin was wrong. It is a place. Okay. Why do you say Israel? I like that. That's good. Why Israel? Okay, that's where Jesus was. Good. That's good. What do you guys think? What's that? New Jerusalem. Did you say New Jerusalem? You've been reading the book of Revelation. I know you do. It is good. It's really good. Where is it? Where's the place? Where's the place? What's that?
Heaven.
Oh, heaven? Okay. Jesus is the kingdom is now. Jesus is the kingdom is here. This was 2,000 years ago. So where is it? Ooh, okay. So this is a little, this is, all right. Let's run down this. I like where you're going. How could it be in anywhere and everywhere? Soul? Good. Ryan, what are you thinking? So are you saying that if a follower of Jesus is manifesting the law and the kingdom of Jesus, that that place becomes the kingdom place? Is that what you're saying? Meaning that me, as a follower of Jesus, living a life before my King in obedience, this is kingdom space. Right? Right? Is that possible? Is it possible that when we gather in there on Sunday morning and the people of the King gather under the name of the King in obedience to the King, does that become kingdom space? Does that mean that we could be in the United States and be in kingdom space? We could be in Iran and be in kingdom space? That we could be in China and be in kingdom space? Does that basically mean that it is His will and His kingdom come anywhere and everywhere a follower of Jesus makes Him known? Well, that's pretty darn cool, isn't it? That's pretty darn awesome. Boy, that's what you should write that down. Wherever two or three are gathered, yeah. Isn't that an incredible thing? That there is a space that also means that someone from the outside could bump into the kingdom whenever they bump into a follower of Jesus Christ. And what should they bump into? If the kingdom of God is shaped by the King on the throne. And what did we say that kingdom would embody? What were some of the descriptions? I heard the word love. And I heard, what other words did I hear? Sacrifice. What's that? Justice. That anytime someone bumps into kingdom, the space that is inhabited by a Father, they should experience those things, right? Yeah, they should experience those. It's a King. It's a people. It's a place. And what was the last one? His law. His rule. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Jesus has rules. Is that a threat? Does that threaten you? Does that bother you? Sure it does. You're an American. No king's going to tell you what to do, right? Dude, we throw tea into the water if you pull that stunt with us. Don't tell us what to do. Yeah, I bet you. If you're an honest American, the idea of a king telling you what to do, this is not my president. Remember that? Remember that? Not my president. No, I'm not answering to that. Oh, yeah. We are a kingdom unto ourselves. We are a fully authoritarian, dictatorial emperors of our own making. What you need to understand, though, is to follow Jesus is to follow His rules. To not follow His rules is to not follow Jesus. You cannot say you follow Jesus and not follow the rules. Why? Because He's creating a culture and a context of life. Remember, our Father in heaven, He's creating life. And His rules create life. His law creates a space where humans flourish, where it's best. You know what some of those examples might be? We're going to learn about this in a few months. You know what one of them is? Don't kill each other. That's kind of a big thing to Him. Here's another one. Don't lie. Tell the truth. You want to know another one? Don't steal stuff. Don't take stuff. It's not yours. Any of these sound familiar to you? Some courthouses will have them on big stone tablets outside. Some schools used to have them up on their wall. Yeah, Porter. You know, I know a lot of moms and dads that would agree with that exactly. It is a good one. Honor the faith tradition of your parents. Honor the care that parents provide you. 100%. 100%. We'll unpack the Ten Commandments in a little bit. Let me share with you a story where all of this comes to play in Matthew chapter 4. This is after Jesus' baptism, and the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, to be attacked. This is the first major showdown of Jesus' life and his ministry. He goes into the wilderness, and the adversary, the Satan, comes against him to tempt him. Let me read to you, okay? This is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You can imagine. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus said, "It's written." He quotes Deuteronomy. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. It's written, for it's written." This is the devil quoting scripture. "He will command his angels concerning you." And it also says in the Bible, "On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." But Jesus said to him, "Yeah, again, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And the devil said to Jesus, "All these things I will give to you if you'll but fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." What is Satan tempting Jesus with? What does he dangle in front of Jesus? He uses scripture to back himself up, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, but what's the temptation? What does he tempt him with? What does he put in to say, "Hey, don't you want this?" What's that?
The word?
First is food, right? Dude, he's hungry. He's hungry. He hasn't eaten 40 days and 40 nights. Like, if anyone came up to you after 40 days and 40 nights and you had the capacity to turn rocks into bread, you gotta admit you might be a little tempted, right? Yes, he tempts him with food. What else does he tempt him with?
Power.
What do you mean by power?
I'm giving him all the kingdoms.
Okay, yeah. And to get that, what does Jesus have to do?
Bow down
and give allegiance to this angel that's tempting him. To change allegiance from following God to following this angel. That's the temptation. That's the trial. And did you notice, as I was reading into it, and I tried to articulate it, one of the things that Satan does to back up his argument, he quotes scripture. Can you believe that? Like, he quotes scripture to Jesus. He says, "Hey, if you jump off, you know, the pinnacle, you know, Bible says that God will catch you. He says he'll send angels to catch you. It says it in Psalm 91. It's right there." Isn't that interesting? That the enemy used what we would say is our first line of defense, right? Would you be able to defend yourself? I'm just asking. Would you have the right bullets in the gun if Satan came to you, tempting you, and used Bible to back it up? Would you be able to defend yourself? What is it that enabled Jesus to defend himself? Knowledge of what? So every single time Satan tempted him, you know how Jesus responded? Well, it says in Deuteronomy. He memorized Scripture. He had it inside of him. He knew it. Which meant that when Satan came and misused Scripture, Jesus was able to say, no. You're not using that correctly. That's not what that means. That's out of context. That's out of place. Just because you quote Scripture doesn't mean it's right. But notice the discipline. Jesus had a regular discipline of memorizing Scripture. Okay? It's one of the reasons this program pushes you towards memorizing, to shape your thinking, to shape your mind, to shape your understanding. It's not just like a cutesy little extra thing. Because this is a war of kingdoms. It's a battle of kingdoms. We are challenging you and encouraging you to make a decision. And all of you will make a decision, either for or against the kingdom of Jesus. But if you will stand with Jesus, you need to understand that there are other kingdoms that will come against you. And you will need to be able to defend yourself. Please do not be the type of soldier that charges off into battle with no bullets in the gun. Okay? That makes you useless. That makes you a sitting duck. That's foolish. I mean, there are times, it's been a while, I used to carry all the time. I used to have a concealed carry that I carried all the time. Is there any point carrying a handgun and not carrying the bullets that go with it? Right? I mean, that's a whole lot of show and no bang. So let me challenge you. If you've kind of gotten out of the habit of the memory cards, if you've gotten out of the habit of memorizing the content, the questions, the verses, there's a reason behind it. The formation of your heart and your mind is what's at stake. Kingdom territory. Because for there to be a kingdom, there has to be a king, there has to be a people, there has to be a place, there has to be the law, the rule that shapes and makes all of those things together. How does baptism fit into all of this? Porter, I knew that your hand was going to be. I felt there was something that I felt inside of me. There was a shift in the metaphysicalness of all things. I'm like, Porter's hand is going up. That's okay, dude. Okay, what do you think? How does baptism fit into the question of kingdom? Dude, I don't know what you're feeding them, but don't stop. What do you think? How does baptism fit into the question of kingdom?
Public display to show you're in the kingdom.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
it's back to the character. Like, people should be able to see if you follow them around through the day.
Baptism is a public declaration that this person is now a part of God's kingdom. Okay? It's also a public declaration against all other kingdoms. That's my king. That's my king. When someone comes to be baptized, we ask them questions that anchor them in that declaration. Okay? Now, something that you need to wrestle with, okay? If you have never been baptized and you tell me you're a follower of Jesus, okay, the very first thing that Jesus tells his followers to do is what? Be baptized. Okay? It is your public declaration. Your confirmation, if you will, to use the word from another tradition. Yeah. So I pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Why? Because I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. Character, kingdom. When I pray that, that's another way of saying I'm not a traitor. Because, yeah, I was created to be a good image bearer of God, right? Knows him, loves him, lives with him, glorifies him. Yeah, but what has happened? What does sin do? Corruption and treason. There's nothing wrong with daily waking up and saying, I'm not a traitor. You're my king. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. I'm not a traitor. And I will act and live in a way that is loyal to your commandments. Yeah. It's a way of showing up for duty, isn't it? A way of saying, I'm here. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth. Right where I am. As it is in heaven. Questions? Thoughts? What comes to your mind? Mm-hmm. John the Baptist. Yeah. John the Baptist. Yep. Excellent question. As an example. Yeah. It happens right before, as you look in Matthew chapter 3, right before Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted. Yeah, he shows up. And John the Baptist, this is a great moment. I mean, I don't know if you can imagine it, right? So John the Baptist is baptizing people, baptizing. Jesus shows up and John's like, I know who you are, man. Like, you should be baptizing me. I mean, as you can imagine, like, I don't know that I should be baptizing you. And Jesus said, hey, just for the sake of, let's go ahead and do this. Yeah, but excellent question. Ms. Harper, you have a question. What do I say? Like, what questions are asked? So if you were to be baptized. Yeah, right in that moment, okay? So you would be asked to profess, hey, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Will you follow him all the days of your life? Okay, then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in his death, raised to his life. And then everyone goes nuts. And there's clapping, and there's hooping, and there's hollering, and there's screaming. And there's also a whole lot of raging by all the other kingdoms because another soul has left treason and corruption and death and has entered into life. And it's awesome. It is awesome. Yeah.
When's the next one?
Easter. Easter.
Next Easter?
Well, then this class is over, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Satan's an angelic being.
Is one of the angelic beings.
He has to ask God for permission whatever he does, right?
Does he have to ask permission?
God has to give permission.
Everything that the adversary and the enemy does still happens under the oversight of God. Yeah.
So then why would he let Satan tempt his son?
Why did he let him do it?
Yeah.
What's that?
As a test?
Yeah, Jesus had to prove. Jesus had to be able to do what Israel couldn't do. Okay, so Jesus goes into the wilderness as Israel was led into the wilderness, as Israel was tempted and failed to follow. Jesus, as the good king, has to prove that he can do what everyone couldn't do. I need to know that my king will defend me and protect me and keep me. To do that, he had to stand before all of the cosmos and say, bring it. Bring it. And he didn't do it just once. He did it a second time too, didn't he? Where else did he battle? In the garden. And what did he pray? Not my will be done, but your will be done.
That was right before he got
arrested, yeah. It gets you in the fields. Gets you right there. Yeah. Yeah. Now, God gives people the opportunity to obey in the same way that he said to Cain. He says, hey, sin is crouching at the door. You must master it. If you're going to follow, you must follow. Now, we know I need God's grace to help me every single day. So what do I pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Guide me through my trials. Deliver me from evil. Huge, huge, huge thing. Excellent question. Other questions before we land this plane? Carmen, what you got? You good? She says thumbs up. All right. Jackson, you good? Any questions? No. So glad that you're here. Mr. Ryan, questions? Okay, so this week, what I would like you to do in your process of memorizing and working through, as you have your prayer beads, okay, so you pray the full Lord's Prayer on the cruciform beads, our Father in heaven, all the way through, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. On the other beads, the weak beads, focus in on that line, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Repeat that, repeat that, repeat that. You want that to saturate your thinking. You want that to shape your heart and your mind. You want that to resonate from the space of your heart in praise and petition and confession and thanksgiving. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. I'm thinking about who I am as a follower of Jesus. I'm thinking about who Jesus is. I'm thinking about his rule. I'm thinking about wherever I step, that his kingdom come and his will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. You guys should be prepping and getting ready for your first ministry rotation. If you haven't been able to lock something in, I know some of you have. Some of you have yet to make that decision. I need to know to help you to see what we can do as far as volunteering in a different place or a certain place. Okay? So if you need to have a conversation with your mentor, hey, Pastor Paul says I need to be ready to get into this come July. Happy to do that. Talk to your mentor. Check in with them. Serving is one of the things that we do. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Be zealous for good works. Be zealous. Do not be slothful. Don't be slothful, but serve one another. Okay? Questions, questions, questions. Mr. Adam, anything that I missed or something that you want to drill down on before we say amen? Using scripture, yes. Swords, yep. The sword that comes from his mouth? Yeah.
Both sides have swords. You have to be better trained in using
yours. Mm. That'll preach. That'll preach. Yeah.
And then the ministries. Definitely, we have a lot of ministries here.
And doesn't have to be complicated. Doesn't have to be complicated. Okay? So what you're going to do is you're going to serve twice a month. Okay, in a particular rotation for 3 months. Okay, could be greeting at the door every other Sunday. Could be working as an aide in the blasting zone. Inside of your book, underneath the hands section, is a whole list of suggested ministry rotations. Okay? Okay.
We have a ministry leader here right now.
Miss Sonia is a ministry leader. She has a particular department that she helps oversee. Okay? But hey, this week, that needs to happen. Okay, it's a weird way of putting things into practice. Why don't we stand? Yes, I see that Porter sees the honey sticks, and Porter is aware of. But before we do that, for your word is sweet and it is honey to my tongue, let me ask God's blessing upon you. I know that there's some storms that are coming in that you would get home safe. My King calms storms. I don't know about yours, but my King can do that. Our Father God, I ask your blessing and presence upon these. Wherever they are on their journey, move them closer to you. Draw them with your love as they look upon the cross, as they look upon Jesus the King. Father, just seat that in their soul, that this is one who died for me. This is one who went through the fires for me. This is one that invites me to life. Spirit, manifest yourself in each of their lives as they do the memory work, as they pray, as they work through the words. Transform and change them. We ask your protection and keeping upon us, our space, the Miami Valley, as storms come through, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. This is your graciousness, your kindness, but you're also the God who meets us in the storms. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, guys. Have a great, great week.